This is Brent from Burgundy Blog. It is September 17th, 2023. And yeah, I am back with another Burgundy Blogcast because your Washington Commanders, your Fighting Josh Harris's, today went into Denver and at Mile High Stadium knocked off the Broncos 35-33. Boy, was it wild. Boy, was it wacky. But they did it. They pulled it off. And they have remained undefeated in the Josh Harris / Sam Howe era at 2-0. Buckle up, baby. We got ourselves a season. All right, so the beginning of this game was obviously a slow motion train wreck. Commanders got the ball first. They actually had a nice little drive going, some good variety, several decent gains. They got down into field goal range. Howell had a pass batted down. Then he took another sack where he held the ball too long. And then, of course, Cameron Cheeseman had yet another bad long snap, leading to a missed Joey Sly field goal attempt. The Broncos pretty much immediately scored a touchdown. Then the Commanders kicked a field goal. And then the Broncos scored two more touchdowns to race out to what seemed like a totally insurmountable 21-3 lead. During that portion of the game, Howell got sacked three more times, and the defense looked really pretty much inept, both in terms of against the pass and the run. And I suspect pretty much all of us at home were starting to assume we were in for a blowout loss. But it turned into, of course, basically a tale of two games, because after Jamin Davis made a nice play to force a fumble, and then Howell would find Logan Thomas on a fourth down touchdown conversion. Thomas, of course, got concussed by a flagrantly illegal hit. And then Brian Robinson was able to convert the two-pointer thanks to a replay overrule. And so that made it 21-11. And from then on, from that forced turnover and that awesome fourth-down touchdown, it was a completely different game. And the Commanders went from looking like hot garbage to looking very frisky and dangerous and like a team that maybe we can be proud of for the rest of the season. That Logan touchdown would be the first points in a stretch in which they scored 35 of 38 points scored in the game. Whew, scorching. Broncos, of course, would later make it very tight with a field goal and the ridiculous Hail Mary, but here's the bottom line of the whole thing. In my book, when you go on the road across the country, face a respectable team with a reputable defense, you show guts and fortitude in coming back from a seemingly insurmountable early lead. You make enough adjustments, you figure it out, you ring up 35, and you hang on. I got nothing but love for you, baby. Nothing but love. Very impressive win. Very impressive team win to me. Players, coaches, Bieniemy's offense scored more than enough against a solid defense. Del Rio's defense did barely enough overall. And they figured it out, and they held on. So, big-time kudos for me. Got to talk about Sam Howell, right? What's the Howell update? What's the Howell status report? Well, yesterday, I tweeted something to the effect of, besting a good defense at Mile High would definitely bump Howell up a notch in my confidence ranking. And best them, he did. Howell was good. Howell was better than good. He was fancy. The touchdown pass to Logan Thomas was fantastic. He had a sweet laser throw down the right sideline to Bates, put in exactly the right place. And then later on, that touchdown to McLaurin was just, I mean, as good as it gets. Just ridiculous throw, ridiculous catch on that play. And actually, at that moment, I thought back to last week's podcast when I said that to this very, very early point in his career, I wasn't seeing quite as many of these, like, jaw-dropping, bonkers highlights from Howell as you'd like to see in a future star, but man, that touchdown throw to McLaurin was just so money, and I take it back. That was a sick play. That pass was perfect, and I think pretty suggestive of a high ceiling. Now, officially, he got sacked four times. That's been a problem, of course. There was also one other play in the second quarter. In fact, it was on that drive that culminated in the Thomas touchdown catch, but drive would have ended with a sack if it hadn't been, you know, if they hadn't been gifted a pretty lucky face mask committed against Howell to continue that drive. And then by my count, he did get at least two balls tipped again. So I'm finding that holding the ball a little too long, taking sacks, and getting balls knocked down are definitely part of his shtick. So it wasn't perfect by any means, but it was just damn good. He threw for 299, couple of scores. Overall, he was pretty careful with the ball this time. Made a couple more plays with his legs, including one first down conversion that got pulled back for, I think, a hold on Sadiq Charles. But yeah, overall, to me, this was Howell's most impressive, most encouraging game to date. Just really enjoyed what he brought in this one. Offensive line, overall, I thought looked fairly respectable in this one. It was a little shaky early, but I thought during that long stretch from late second quarter into mid fourth quarter, this offensive line absolutely got the job done, both in terms of run and pass blocking. Now, I certainly don't profess to be any kind of offensive line guru, but I have this one thought, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the offensive line looked so good on a day when the screen game was so nice. Commanders had at least three chunk plays on screens, to my recollection. That slows down your pass rush. It is a huge asset. It has not been part of the Commanders game for years under Scott Turner. It has been expected, anticipated to be a big new thing with Bieniemy, and this was the first one we saw it in. So I think those screens were huge, not only for yardage, but also for taking the teeth out of that Broncos pass rush. Kudos for figuring that out. Some other observations on the offense. McLaurin led the team with six targets. As far as I can tell, that is exactly what should be happening week in and week out. He caught four of them. Ridiculous touchdown grab. Love to see him contributing. And in fact, more than that, leading the way. Logan Thomas got an anti-shout-out from me last week. I called him out for looking not dynamic. And in fact, I prematurely buried his career. But that touchdown catch on fourth down just really turned everything around. I mean, that was absolutely a game-changing, potentially season-changing play by him. So nice job shutting me up. Brian Robinson had some super hard, beastly runs. Couple of touchdowns. He was running like a man possessed. Very impressed by him today. Antonio Gibson. I thought, I worried a little that he might go in the tank or that the coaches might put him in the doghouse after his fumble last week. But they used him nicely. They're starting to get him in space a little bit more. He had a nice play on a screen, and he made a lot of dudes miss today. He's looking like a weapon again. And lastly, coordinator Eric Bieniemy. Just nice job keeping him on their heels. He was mixing it up. I thought it was too pass heavy in the first half. Hal threw it 30 times. But he was calling plays that got guys open. He worked in the screens. In the third quarter in particular, it just felt like the Broncos were really way off balance. And just in general, to turn what was at one point an 18-point deficit into an 11-point lead on the road with a quarterback who's still figuring it out, that's a nice job. Jumping over to special teams next, real quick. Tress Way, of course, was his usual reliable self. Joey Sly, 2 of 4 on field goal attempts and 3 of 3 on extra points. Not exactly his best game. He did hit a 49-yarder. He did push pretty wide right, a longish one, after a third down sack at some point in the second half, I believe. But, you know, most interestingly, he, of course, missed an early one due to another crappy snap by Cam Cheeseman. Now, look, it is unbecoming to pile on someone in his situation right now, but this guy has had at least one bad snap in, like, every single game going back to, I think, the second preseason game. Let's set aside for a second the fact that they not only drafted this long snapper, but traded up to draft this long snapper, which means that in order for there to be any sort of real successful payoff for that move, he essentially needs to be an utterly perfect, infallible long snapper, which clearly he's not. Setting that aside as a sunk cost, you can find long snappers on the street. They could probably find one at the airport. I mean, obviously, I have this feeling that what Rivera's going to do is say, well, we're still 2-0, who cares, we'll just keep rolling with it, but how much slack are you going to cut the guy? He plays a position where, really, the most basic requirement is to be rock steady and consistent. Meanwhile, he's had a pretty massive gaffe in, like, 4 games in a row, and by many accounts was looking bad in practice this summer. I understand the idea that you want to develop a young guy that you've invested in, and I get that. But I certainly hope they're looking into alternatives. And if we have not reached the point of making a move, we have got to be close. Okay, time for the defense. Daron friggin' Payne. Absolute menace for 4 quarters. How about that one series where he goes sack, tackle for loss, batted pass? I mean, this dude, obviously, last year was awesome. Got the big deal that he deserved, and I mean, he earned it. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, if he had gotten the bag and then decided to coast for a little bit, sure as heck wouldn't have been the first high-profile defensive lineman on this team to ever do that. Am I right? Ahem, Haynesworth. So, yeah, I wondered a little bit if he might, you know, turn it down a notch this year. But so far through two games, he's actually better. Somehow he seems to have found a different level. So impressive. I'd say, yeah, if he and John Allen keep this up for the remainder of the season and given health, little doubt they will become widely recognized as the best interior defensive line tandem in the NFL. Chase Young, the Predator. All right, going back to the spring, I have been expecting a big year from him. And in fact, on Twitter, I was mildly vocal about criticizing the team for passing on his fifth-year option. Not that I don't understand that it's a degree of a gamble based on his history of a major injury and to a degree some inconsistent play past his rookie of the year first season. But just because I'm frankly expecting him to have a big re-breakout and earn a monster contract and force their hand and put the Commanders in a really difficult spot when they're trying to decide whether to pay Sweat or Young. Now, yes, they will have a franchise tag option, but you got to consider Cam Curl here too. And anyway, I think it's fair to say that I was a little higher on Chase Young coming into the year than most. And so I have to admit, I was a little sketched out by this stinger that turned into like a 5 or 6 week injury and caused him to miss week one. And yeah, to a degree, I was starting to question whether we were ever going to see this guy fully blossom into the, force and superstar he's been billed as. Well, I thought tonight, obviously, hardly a guarantee of that, but nice little start. Nice return. Officially a sack and a half for him, but several other pressures that won't show up immediately in the standard box score. And his first sack came on a big third down in the red zone and forced a field goal. So, obviously, you know, way too early to get carried away, but that was promising. And I think we should be wide open now to the return of him as a major difference maker. Linebackers for a second. Jamin Davis. I have become a skeptic over time. It has taken way too long for him to pan out as a first-round pick. But so far this year, he's looking pretty good. He's playing very fast. A lot of nice plays sideline to sideline. I'm thinking that he has actually benefited from not wearing the green dot, not being the mic. Seems like maybe that's allowing him to play without thinking first so much, maybe a little more instinctively. Anyway, I'm encouraged by what he's shown, and I think the Commanders are lucky that all of his legal stuff from the serial speeding tickets seems to have gotten pushed off till after the season. His colleague there, Cody Barton, is a guy who I thought was a nice signing, and I've said a couple of times on Twitter I've expected him to break out and be pretty great this year. That has not been happening so far this summer in the first couple games. He had a rough opener, and today he kind of got exposed, I think, on Wilson's first touchdown pass. Although, frankly, it seemed like he was kind of put in an unwinnable position on that one. Anyway, he hasn't been awesome, but I'm not going to totally kill him today. He had 10 tackles to lead the team. He recovered the fumble that Jamin Davis forced. I'm totally not writing him off. I mean, I know a lot of people want him benched for Kalik Hudson, but I kind of liked him with Seattle, and I think we got to give him a few more weeks. I feel like he's going to continue to improve, and it's obvious the coaches want that to happen. I mean, the guy barely comes off the field. Last individual I wanted to highlight, the rookie, the first rounder, Emmanuel Forbes Jr. Nice little game. He's looking the part, isn't he? He got a pick. I think he had one other PBU. I think he did also have a penalty. But these are some nice early returns on the first rounder. I'm thinking now, actually, he may have gotten beat for a pretty big gainer in the first half. But nonetheless, he has not seemed overmatched by any means. He does seem to belong. I think he's really put a lot of those fears about his slight frame to rest by not being at all afraid to be physical and make tackles. This team definitely did desperately need a starting corner. And so I think that this was a draft pick that initially to me struck me as a bit of a reach. and maybe one for Need, but I think I was wrong. They seem to have hit with him. He's panning out early on, and sky seems like the limit for him. A few more miscellaneous thoughts to conclude. I don't feel like the Commanders have much leeway to be complaining about the refs in this one. In my book, on that play where Jamin Davis forced the incredibly important fumble, maybe he didn't fully grab and yank the face mask, but I don't know, man. I think that face mask could have gotten called and potentially derailed that whole massive play. And secondly, very end, Denver's two-point conversion attempt that would have tied the game and forced overtime kind of looked like DPI on St. Juice to me, so I think they might have gotten away with one there too. Now, on the Hail Mary, just bat the thing down. Oh my gosh. I mean, Sean Payton got a ridiculous last-minute Hail Mary conversion against Washington a few years ago when he was with the Saints. I mean, geez, that thing got batted and juggled six times. Just knock it the heck down. Lastly, week 3, September 24th, FedEx Field. I'm going to be there. Section 223. I'm pretty excited. Bought those tickets a couple of months ago. I think we picked a good one. Coming in undefeated against, obviously, a really good team in the Bills. Place should be pretty lit. Sure hope it is. Personally, first time I will have been to a regular season game at FedEx since the very first one that the Redskins played there in 1997. I did have the good fortune of visiting RFK many times before FedEx opened, and some of my favorite childhood memories took place there. But I'm feeling like I've hopefully picked a good time to return to FedEx and maybe bank a couple more good memories there, so I don't know yet exactly what that means for the timing of the blogcast in week 3, but hopefully I'll be able to bring you back some good intel from on the ground. Catch you again then.